The legislature restored about 3.2 of the 4 point in basic aid that was lost 2 years ago. And so I'd like to start out by asking each of you, did we do enough? Representative Vialba, this was your first session. Was this enough?
Well, look, I'm not sure we would ever say that it's enough, but I do believe that we did a good job in taking that first step to restore some of these cuts. You know, last time the number that was thrown around was $5.4 billion. We got $4 billion of those back, and I think that's a good first step. I believe that we needed to have educational reform coupled with any restoration of those funds, and I think we did both. HB5 were two elements of reform that I think were important to go along with those restoration of those cuts. But I think it's important for Dallas and for all of Texas to make sure that we do put more money back into the schools. And so I was satisfied with that number. And, you know, look, I know our friends on the other side of the aisle wanted to see all of those come back, but I think it was a good compromise where we ended up.
Here's something I noticed, and that is that while we restored a lot of the funding, some districts like DISD, for example, will not be restored to the level that they had in 2011. They're certainly getting more next year, but not as much as they had in 2011. Representative Patrick, your thoughts on that. Did we do enough?
Well, as Representative Vialba mentioned, in some ways we can never do enough. But I would say that I'm very satisfied with what we've been able to do. The most important thing that we've done is we have fully funded enrollment growth. And in the state of Texas, we're looking at a growth rate of about 80 to 100,000 students new each year. And so when you think about the strain on districts like Dallas, perhaps, and others that are not only growing, but also children who are being educated in our system, in many cases, are more expensive to educate for a variety of reasons. And so, again, we've been able to take those things into consideration.
So if my math is right, the 3.2 that we restored is about 80% of the basic education funding, but some of the grant money was not restored. And I know, Representative Giddings, you have for a very long while talked about pre-K and wanted an expansion of pre-K. Pre-K was not brought back to the level where it was 2 years ago. You and Representative Patrick were both on appropriations. Tell me a little bit about what went on there and whether you're pleased with where we ended up.
Well, I think it was a balance, and I think that's what you're always looking for in the legislature. I think when you have that balance and that fairness, that's a search for the truth, and I think that's what we're about this time around. As it relates to pre-K, we all know the value of pre-K. We all know that a dollar invested today is going to give us $7 in the future. As it relates to this particular budget, our chairperson of our subcommittee recommended to us, and we decided to go that way, is that we take the funds that we had for public education and we put them all into the formula and gave them to the school districts in that way. And that if a school district then looked favorably up on pre-K, then they could take part of their funding and do something with that funding as it related to pre-K. Finally, with the Senate's version of the bill, we did put some small amount of money into pre-K. But specifically, I would have liked to have had a specified pool of funds available for pre-K, and more than we did, just because we know what a difference pre-K can make in terms of the lives of these young people who often come to the schoolhouse 2 years behind.
We know that the court suit is still out there and will probably have to be dealt with at some point in the near future. And I think I'm correct that districts still have a wide variety of per pupil spending. In one district, it's, you know, sometimes hundreds of dollars more than in another. Representative Patrick, is that something that you think will be addressed in a future session then?
Or? Well, I can tell you that the funds that will be distributed in the basic allotment, which does take into consideration property wealth. And so you will see the more property poor districts receiving more of that in the distribution. So we have definitely paid attention to that as that money that we've allocated is being distributed.
Another big issue that I think all of you talked about extensively was testing. Parents were so upset that we had 15 tests that their kids were taking before they could graduate. Although the governor hasn't signed the legislation yet, it would appear that that we're going to reduce the number of tests. Representative Patrick, you had legislation going in relative to that issue. Are you pleased with where we ended up?
I really am. We've reduced tests from 15 to 5. And when you put it in the context of the entire United States, Texas, with 15 tests, had more than any other state. Virginia was the closest with 6 tests required, and Florida and New York, 5 and 3. So we're very much in the ballpark in that regard. But more importantly, not only do we have the test in the subjects that we want to know for certain that the students have accomplished what they need to accomplish in terms of the central knowledge, but we have Algebra 1, we have Biology, we have English 1, English 2, and United States History. So what this means by virtue of the schedule that a student typically takes is that they will have completed that battery of tests by the time they're a sophomore or a junior. So that gives them the opportunity to remediate if they need a year or two to do that, as well as the opportunity to move on from that testing into career and technology endorsement paths. And I think that's one of the exciting things that's in HB 5, is that students will now have an opportunity to receive an endorsement in a career path that is very, very flexible. We do not want children in any way to be tracked. We want to give them the opportunity to change their mind if they so desire, and also the opportunity to be in a multidisciplinary track if they aren't certain what they're interested in becoming.
What are the tracks?
There's science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. There's business and industry. There's public services, arts and humanities, or multidisciplinary studies, as I mentioned earlier, which would be a blend of some of the above.
I know that some of the business organizations have said, well, wait a minute, you got rid of some of those tests that were required for more high-level performance. Any concerns with that?
Concern with that. During the debate on HB 5, there was a concern about what would be the default position that the students would go down. Would they default going into the college route, or they default into the non-college route, or the career education? And that was a big concern on the floor. I fought hard for more rigor. I thought we should have a default of the college-bound students, but where we ended up is no default at all. So what the situation would be is if you're a student and you're in ninth grade, you would go to your counselor, and there would be no default position that you would take, and the counselor and you and your parents would all decide which track you would go on. I thought that was a little disconcerting for me. I believe that all Texas students are capable of going to college. If they decide not to, they should be able to opt out of the college-bound programs, and I fought for that. And I know that's one of the concerns that the business groups had. I have a lot of relationships with the business organizations that were concerned about that, and that was one of their complaints.
So if you start down one track and then you change your mind, is there still enough time to do that? Can you go from a more technically focused track to the college-bound track?
I think that's where the debate centered. When can you switch tracks? How do you switch tracks? Can you switch tracks from one to the other, one discipline to the other? We're going to have to find out how that works. Now, I think we did a good thing with HB 5. I mean, I can tell you, knocking on doors, and we knocked on a lot of doors, probably one of yours, we heard over and over again, too much testing, and we want alternative pathways. All these different things that we really, truly wanted, I think, were implemented into HB 5. I mean, we're talking about true education reform in a way that really works. Now, no program is going to be perfect and satisfy all constituencies, but I think we've taken a tremendous first step in reforming our educational system here in Texas. I know there's some complaints about rigor, but I think we're going to do better with that in the next session, and I know I plan on coming back and enforcing some harder decisions on making sure that we can get our college-bound students in Texas in that direction.
And so when does this reduced amount of testing begin? Next year? That soon?
Well, it goes into effect for the students that are currently in the 10th grade, because they began this program when they were in the 9th grade. They're the first set of students to move through, so they will have a choice. They can continue in the program that they're currently under, or they can switch to the new program. And in the foundation school program, what we're talking about is rigor of curriculum. And not when we talk about testing, it's important to separate assessment from curriculum. And so we're still requiring the students have a rigorous high school curriculum in order to graduate. And that's the most important thing, because we want students to love learning. We want teachers to love teaching. And so we're excited about the possibilities that this brings.